The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And we are in breaking news mode today. All sorts of rumors coming out of our nation's capital. But one thing is very clear as we kick off the show today, and by the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. One thing is very clear, that we are in the midst of a constitutional crisis. Now, whether or not they're talking about this, and I don't think even the conservative media, I don't even think they're talking about the constitutional crisis we're in right now. But it is very clear that Joe Biden is not in control of his faculties. Joe Biden is not in control of the White House. Joe Biden is not calling the shots. And this is putting our nation in grave danger. We already know that many of our army installations across Europe are on high alert. They're awaiting an imminent terrorist attack. There are many people out there who see the condition of Joe Biden and believe they can take advantage of our country, and they can. Right now, there is a raging debate over whether or not Joe Biden will actually be able to survive through the weekend. I mean, that's how serious of a situation this is. And by all indications, the Democrats have really got themselves in a pickle here. Because the only reason that Kamala Harris was put on the ticket was so that black people would vote. And they wanted to pass Kamala Harris off as a black person, and so they put her on the ticket. She is incredibly unqualified. She is just like a typical DEI hire. And we're not going to get into how – today we will not get into how she got her start in politics. But let's just say that she wasn't on her knees praying, allegedly. So – she is a very bad and dangerous person because she's clueless. And the Democrats know this, which is why they haven't gotten rid of Joe Biden. And they were just hoping to make it through, and it did not work. But here's the problem. Now they can't get rid of her because every minority in the Democrat Party would bolt. So the issue now facing the Democrats is, all right, they've got to have a black person running for the White House. And if it's not going to be Kamala Harris, who will it be? And, of course, day one, ladies and gentlemen, day one, I told you on this program that Joe Biden would not be the nominee. He would not be the nominee. He would not be running in the presidential election. He would not make it to the end. From day one, we've been talking about this on the radio. Day one. There is a brand new Reuters poll out, and I know this may trouble some of you. Maybe it doesn't. But the Reuters poll said, all right, so if Biden's not the nominee, what if it's Kamala Harris? Trump beats Kamala Harris by 2 points in this hypothetical poll. So the Reuters people went out there. They did the polling data. They polled Trump against every other Democrat that might possibly run, and Trump beats everybody. Trump beats everybody except one person, and that one person in the Reuters poll is Michelle Obama. And Michelle Obama ends up beating Trump by getting 50% of the vote to his, I believe, 39%. In other words, Michelle Obama would trounce President Trump in this hypothetical Reuters poll that just came out yesterday. Are you concerned? Are you concerned that this might possibly be the case, that the nominee could eventually be Michelle Obama? And do you believe that she might be able to beat Donald Trump? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. A lot of people are talking about this. I mean, people are freaking out. As a matter of fact, the New York Times just a few moments ago reported that Biden is actively considering just pulling out of the race. I don't think he's going to. Look, here's what's going to happen. If he actually pulls out of the race, he's going to resign. And he's going to have to resign because people are going to need to see if Kamala Harris can actually govern. And so this will give her a few months in the Oval Office to figure out whether or not she could run. No, not oral office. That's, I told you, we're not talking about that today. But that could be the play here. Biden not only decides not to run, but Biden resigns. As a matter of fact, Tom Fitton now picking up on that just moments ago. And Tom Fitton seems to think that Biden is going to resign as early as next week. This has to happen pretty quickly. But now the White House is pushing back against the New York Times report, and they say it's absolutely not true that Trump's not going anywhere. So it's fascinating, and I love the D-on-D violence here. I mean, this is great. I mean, they're taking each other out of here, folks. And God bless whoever kidnapped Donald J. Trump and locked him in a room and took away all of his social media access codes. God bless that person, because Trump is doing the right thing here. Trump is quiet as a church mouse. He's not saying anything. He's letting the Democrats kill themselves, and it is a beautiful thing. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is cut number, let's play cut number one, please.
It's just so frustrating that people are automatically willing to dismiss 90 minutes of a bad performance and compared to 3.5 years of an excellent presidency. And Michigan should see that more than any other state.
Okay, she's smoking crack. That's Jennifer Granholm. And she's bought in. She drank the Kool-Aid. There are other top Democrats, though, that want Biden to step aside. CNN now reporting on this information. Cut two, please.
The dam is breaking, Jake. Top Democratic leaders, former administration officials, current administration officials, major donors are all telling us privately, and now we're hearing it publicly, that they think that President Biden needs to step aside for the good of the party, for the good of the country. A couple of things they're saying. They do not think the debate was just a one-off event. They think that there is a health problem. They also say you cannot unsee the debate. They're worried, obviously, because of Donald Trump, who they see as an existential threat to democracy, but they're also worried about down-ballot races, losing the House and the Senate.
Yeah, it's all on the table here, but keep in mind and understand this. Everybody's known about this. Everybody knew. Kamala smoking her marijuana, whatever she and the second gentleman are doing. They call her Kamala Kush, by the way. All of these people, they all knew. Everybody was in on this. They knew that Biden's brain had turned to mush. And look, we don't mock the man. We don't make fun of the man. He's an old man. What are you going to do? Old age happens to everybody. And in this particular instance, it literally turned his brain to mush. That's why he literally wanders around the White House in a bathrobe licking an ice cream cone. This is why the First Lady, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden, will not allow the White House to have any access to the president. They literally keep him isolated. The only time he is allowed to make any decisions is between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. They all knew about this. And in doing so, they are putting this country in grave danger. Kamala Harris should be disqualified from running for public office because she hid this from the American people. She had the ability to bring this to the American people and say, hey, look, we love Joe. He's been in Congress since 1782 and he's been around the block a time or two. But it's time for him to go back to the nursing home. He's given it his best shot. And Kamala Harris may have been celebrated throughout the entire country as a great states. Well, we can't call him statesman. Is he a states babe? All right, we'll call a states gal. All right, she would have been a great states gal. But that's not what happened. Everybody's looking out for their own butts here, and that's what's going on. But the Democrats knew, CNN knew, the mainstream media knew, everybody knew. Everybody knew. Now, I don't know if we've got some video up on our Facebook page, but you need to understand what is about to happen here, because this woman, Kamala Harris, could become the next president of the United States. And this is what you're going to hear every single day. Cut 20.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
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 What we can see, what we believe can be unburdened by what has been?
What 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 can be unburdened by what has been?
Who we can be unburdened by who we have been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Where we can be unburdened by where we have been and unburdened by where we are right now.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Yes, 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 what can be? I've seen what can be. I have seen it, Kamala. I have seen what can be, and I have been unburdened. I have been unburdened, ladies and gentlemen. God help us all. We will all be drinking. We will all be alcoholics by the time this woman leaves office. That's how bad it is. So, look, we're going to be taking your calls here. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, going to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Are you concerned that Michelle Hussein Obama may be the Democrat nominee? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, President Biden expected to speak later this afternoon. That's at 4:45 Eastern time. We'll keep you updated on what we know, what we learn. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Dave in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I just want to know why you keep harping on these. Hello?
Dave, you're on the air. What's up?
I just want to know why you keep harping on these polls, Todd. Polls are meant to influence public opinion. I don't think they reflect them at all.
Not at all. Even the ones that have Trump leading in every single race out there.
Absolutely, Todd. And Rush Limbaugh had said this before. He said the exact same. As a matter of fact, that's where I got this from. And I don't trust any of them, Todd. Reuters is mainstream media, and
well, they all
I
are.
Trust
well, Dave, they all yeah. are. So, but at some point, so you're saying don't trust any poll in America. We shouldn't extrapolate any information at all from any of these polls, none whatsoever.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we should hammer the fact that Trump is the man, and
Well, Dave, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you have heard me say that Trump is the man over and over and over and over and over again, Dave.
I have, Todd. I have. That's why I don't understand why you pay any attention to these polls.
Because right now there is grave concern in the Republican Party, Dave, that Michelle Obama could pop up onto the scene and excite and ignite the Democrat base. And if that happens, that's going to be a problem. And I'm telling you right now, Dave, the Republicans, we've got a bad problem on our side of the aisle because our people don't get out and vote like they ought to be doing.
Well, hopefully that's not the case.
And Dave, if it's a poll, if there's a poll out there that shows Michelle Obama beating Donald Trump 50% of the vote, and if that's what it takes to ignite the people to get out there and engage in their constitutional responsibilities, look, I'm going to share that information.
Okay, even if it's wrong information.
We don't know that, and you don't know that. But again, Dave, the problem is the people on the Republican side are not getting out to vote like they should be.
Well, I'd like to discuss this some more with you, Todd, but okay. So be it.
Well, all right, Dave, appreciate the call. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Look, the reality of it is this, folks. If we don't get out and vote in record-breaking numbers, and I'm telling you, if it is Michelle Obama, and I'm not convinced it is, because Kamala Harris believes it's hers. If Kamala Harris is in there, Trump wins, hands down. As a matter of fact, where is this? Let's see. Yeah. Ah, yes. We have some audio here. This is President Trump talking about Kamala Harris. This was during an interview with Tucker Carlson, Cut 19.
She has some bad moments. Her moments are almost as bad as his. I think his are worse, actually.
Yeah. But she seems pretty senile, too.
She speaks in rhyme. It's weird. But she has bad moments. And
in rhyme? What do you?
Well, the way she talks, the bus will go here and then the bus will go there because that's what buses do. And it's weird. The whole thing is weird. This is not a president of the United States future. And I think they probably have some kind of a primary.
There's not a clinical word for it unless you want to call her dingbat. But this woman's a dingbat. Going on and on again about the Venn diagrams. But look, here's all you need to know about Kamala Harris. This woman's one job. She had one job. That job was to secure the border. She was appointed by Joe Biden as the border czar. That was her job. And she failed to do her job. It really is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. So, again, a lot of moving parts here. And all of this really rests on Joe Biden. I mean, he ultimately he's the deciding factor here. Does he go or does he stay? And I will say this. It has nothing to, at this point, I don't think it has anything to do with power. It has everything to do with money. And that's what they're trying to figure out. How much is it going to take to send Joe Biden back to Delaware? Are they going to be giving the family lifelong salaries, some sort of an income? Will Hunter Biden's charges just evaporate? These are all the things that they're negotiating behind the scenes. But what motivates Joe Biden and the Biden crime syndicate is cold, hard cash. That's what it's all about. And now the Democrats are in a spot where they're going to have to figure this out. Their party is on the verge of imploding. They've got a bigger problem than the Republicans do because they have a bunch of radical progressives that are running that party now. By the way, coming up, we're going to be talking to Michael Whatley. He is the co-chair of the RNC, and we're going to be talking about the latest fallout. Also, there's a lot of concern about a gag order that's been imposed on members of the RNC and the RNC party platform. And we're hearing reports, and these are pretty significant reports, that the RNC is considering softening the language on abortion and also the language regarding traditional marriage. This will be an unforced error if they go down this path. We're going to be talking to the chairman about that coming up next. Also, Andy Biggs is here, former Congressman Dave Brat, and we've got a full hour of Independence Day trivia as well. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, folks, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. You can watch the Todd Stern Show. We have a full lineup coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, 5 o'clock on Newsmax. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome in the chairman of the RNC, Michael Whatley. And it was good to run into you backstage a couple of weeks ago at the Road to the Majority Conference. Hope you're doing well, Mr. Chairman.
I'm doing very well. I got to tell you, it's good to see the president up in Michigan hitting his marks and making sure that he's reaching out to communities like Detroit that Republicans tend not to play in and get a really, really strong response there.
Well, it is. And it was exciting to see the folks in Washington, D.C. You delivered some great remarks and got the base ready to rock and roll. Chairman, we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But what do you make of this chaos that's unfolding right now within the Democrat Party?
You know, it's really unbelievable. And I think that, you know, it is quite a contrast to what we're seeing on the Republican side. You know, President Trump has really unified the Republican Party. He won the Republican primary, you know, earlier than anybody ever has, 4 months before we go into this convention. We're 125 days out from the election, and all of a sudden they don't know who their candidate's going to be. Really amazing, to be honest with you, that this is the conversation that they're having on the Democratic side of the aisle right now.
I think even more concerning is the fact that, first of all, everybody, I mean, this is all a joke, Mr. Chairman. Everybody knew, CNN, New York Times, Democrats, everybody knew Biden's cognitive issues, right? But why now? Why is it becoming an issue now?
Well, I think that the American people saw it. You know, this is really, truly a case where the emperor has no clothes. You know, that when you go out there and stand on a stage for 90 minutes and incoherently ramble on, the American people are going to see it. And there really was no way for them to try and cover that up. And at the same time, Donald Trump hit his marks. President Trump went out there and laid out a very clear and convincing case for why he should have 4 more years. And it really comes back to the records. I mean, in addition to how Biden said it, you got to look at what he actually said. You have to look at his agenda and what he's done. He has unleashed inflation across the country and put every single American family in a financial stranglehold. He has unleashed an invasion from the southern border, 10, 15 million illegal immigrants that have come across the border. We don't know who they are, where they are, or what they're doing. And he's really weakened our standing on the international stage. And so, you know, what we're talking about in the course of this election cycle, strength versus weakness, you've never seen a bigger visual for the American people than 50 million people watching Donald Trump be the image of strength on that stage and Joe Biden be the image of weakness.
I am just so proud of President Trump and his team right now. They're playing this so well, letting the Democrats implode. They're just stepping back, focusing on, you know, the reelection and focusing on their platform as opposed to whatever is happening with the Democrats right now.
Yeah, I think it's really important, you know, and I think that that while this plays out, you know, the president is certainly still working. We're working on the platform. We're working on our convention. And when you think about it from a campaign's perspective, we are playing offense. You know, we are going to a rally in New Jersey, where we had 107,000 people. We're going to a fundraising dinner in San Francisco where we raised $12 million. We raised $33 million on a campaign swing through California a few weeks ago, that all of a sudden we're putting Virginia on the map. We're putting Minnesota, New Hampshire on the map. And it's really about us playing offense and President Trump playing offense. And we're watching the Democrats play defense. And honestly, like you said, they're imploding as the American people are watching right now. And even if President Biden comes out of this process as the nominee and goes forward with the convention, he is absolutely weakened in a big state, even more than if they can. I mean, their entire election cycle, I mean, we might as well brand it back to the basement, because that's where we're going here.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Michael Whatley, chairman of the Republican National Committee. And Mr. Chairman, last night I received a letter from Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. He is also a delegate, an elected delegate from Louisiana to serve on the RNC Platform Committee. And he sent a copy of a letter that was addressed to you, very concerned about a gag rule that has been put in place. Can you talk about that and why the gag rule?
There is no gag rule. I'm not quite sure what Tony was talking about in there. Look, I mean, we have made a decision that we're not going to have press coverage in the room of the platform committee, but we're certainly going to have it open to the RNC members and guests, just like we have every other time that we've gone through the platform committee. Look, we're going to have an America First platform. We're going to have a pro-America, pro-family, pro-life, pro-Israel platform. There's no question about it. We're very excited about it. The committee has not even been formed yet. The committee has certainly not had a chance to sit down and meet yet, but we feel very comfortable about where we are and that this is going to be a platform that's going to represent President Trump and his values.
Now, Tony Perkins, in his letter, I want to read this and just give you a chance to respond, because this is being sent out around Republican circles. The RNC gag rule heightens speculation the GOP platform will be watered down to a few pages of meaningless poll-tested talking points. Your reaction to that?
Again, there's no such thing as a gag rule. We are going to have, the RNC members and guests are going to be able to attend just like they have always been able to attend. The fact that we're not going to allow the press in the room while we're having those conversations should not surprise anybody.
Will the language change with regard to abortion or traditional marriage?
Well, look, the last time that we wrote a platform was 2016, and Roe v. Wade was the law of the land. And obviously, we have had a great decision handed down by the Supreme Court that has changed that fact, right? And Dobbs has wiped out Roe v. Wade, thank God. And we fought for 50 years to try and overturn that decision. And thanks to President Trump, the most pro-life president that we've ever had, we've been able to get that thing overturned. So, are there going to be structural changes in the way that the platform has been made? We will have that conversation when we get to the committee. But this is going to be a very pro-life, pro-family, pro-America platform.
And in fairness to Tony Perkins, I've been traveling around speaking at Republican gatherings all over the country over the past couple of months, and people have brought this up to me. I didn't know anything about this. There is a concern out there among Republicans that the language specifically about traditional marriage and abortion might be softened. That seems to be a big concern.
Well, it's a concern every 4 years. I mean, that is a conversation that we have every 4 years as we go into the platform debate. And we have always maintained a very solid pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage platform. I don't see that we're going to have any different outcome in this. I could tell you, from my own personal perspective, I don't think the RNC has ever had a more pro-life chair than me. And so we're very fundamentally committed to the vision that Donald Trump has laid out. He's going to obviously continue his track record of being the most pro-life president we've ever had.
So just to be clear, have they been allowed into the platform deliberation in the past?
C-SPAN has, and that's okay. But I think that we want to make sure that this is a discussion by Republicans among Republicans.
So C-SPAN will be allowed, people will be able to turn on C-SPAN and watch it?
No, we are not. We are not going to have press in the room this time.
Oh, not even C-SPAN. Why is that?
We want this to be a discussion by Republicans among Republicans.
I see. And what about non-RNC members? Can they attend as guests?
We will have guests in the room. So we are working through all of that process at this point.
Okay. And just so you know, we had a spokesperson for the RNC on this show just a few days ago. And we asked about this, and she said that, quote, we are not allowed to talk about this. So I know it may not be, you know, specifically language gag order, but she was very clear multiple times. They are not allowed to talk about anything about this.
Well, look, I think, like I said, we are very excited to get up to Milwaukee. We're very excited to get everybody up there and to get the committee launched and to have the committee take place. And I think we feel very strong that we're going to have a platform that is going to represent President Biden's values and that the pro-life and faith communities are going to be very happy with.
You mean President Trump's values?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Just, I understand. That was a slip. Okay. Well, very good. Look, Mr. Chairman, I'm a registered Republican. I give money to Republican candidates. I support my party, and I know a lot of people are just concerned, and I appreciate you coming on the program and, you know, just having this conversation, and I think people are going to be able to, you know, understand what's going on now.
Yeah, look, and we are tremendously excited. I mean, you think about where we stand kind of in this election. We have never seen a bigger divide on the issues that the faith community believes in. You know, we really have two track records that you can look at, two presidencies that you can look at. We've never had a more pro-life president than Donald J. Trump. We have never had a more pro-abortion president than Joe Biden. You talk about, you know, taking Easter and naming it into a transgender visibility day. You talk about making sure that he's using taxpayer funding for abortions. He's doing it overseas. There's not a single opportunity that they don't take to celebrate the LGBTQ++ agenda every single day from the White House. And so I think that the American people and the faith community are eagerly looking forward to having one of their own back in the White House, and that we're going to restore a faith vision to the American government here.
All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate you coming on and answering those questions, and it's going to be a wild ride in Milwaukee.
Excellent. Todd, thank you so much. We appreciate you and your listeners.
All right, Chairman Michael Whatley, ladies and gentlemen, of the RNC, and we appreciate him coming on the program. All right, we are going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. You just heard the chairman of the RNC, and there are grave concerns here, folks. I mean, you heard it for yourself last week. We had the spokesperson for the RNC on. She didn't use the words gag order, but that's exactly what it is. They've been told not to say anything, to keep their mouths shut. We did ask about the media. The media will not be allowed into the platform for deliberation. The C-SPAN thing is odd. C-SPAN, they don't offer commentary. They just broadcast it so you can actually watch it and you can see the proceedings. And I find that very strange that they're not allowing any cameras at all into the meeting room. And I've known Tony Perkins for, gosh, almost 20 years now. And I can tell you this, for Tony Perkins to write a public letter like this, calling out the RNC, that is a concern. Now, here's the issue, and it's a very simple issue. It appears that there are people within the Republican Party that want to water down the culture war issues. They want to move those to the side, move those out of the way. Those things they believe are hindering the party from growing. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that to be the case? If the Republicans decide that they're going to take abortion out of the platform, if they're going to take the traditional marriage language out of the platform, will you still support the Republican Party? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, coming up a little bit later on tonight, Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, folks, we've got a great lineup for you. You can watch Newsmax on our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. also on the big OTT platforms like Roku, Samsung, and Amazon. Want to really encourage you to download NewsmaxPlus.com. You're going to love this, folks. NewsmaxPlus.com. You're going to be able to get all of your Newsmax 1 and Newsmax 2 shows. Also, the big Trump rallies. You're going to be able to watch all of that, and you can start today a free trial offer. It costs absolutely nothing to start. All you have to do is go to NewsmaxPlus.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So, again, grave concerns among conservatives that the RNC getting ready to water down culture war issues. Now, Chairman Michael Whatley was just on the show, said that's not true. We're getting reports, though, and he did confirm these reports, that for the first time since the 1980s, C-SPAN will not be allowed to broadcast. Whatever's going to happen is going to be super secret behind closed doors. All right, let's go to Marvin in Oregon on KYKN. Hey, Marvin, you heard the chairman. What do you say to that?
I think he's lying. I think it's a cover-up because they're going to change the platform.
How do you know that? Why do you think he's lying?
Huh?
How do you know that he's lying?
Well, because it's out there. You know, and he wasn't telling the whole truth. He never did answer your question. And I would believe Tony Perkins over him.
I've known Tony Perkins for a very long time, Marvin. And for him to, and he's a, look, this, Tony Perkins is a man who is the, you know, he's not out there, you know, he's not a blowhard. He doesn't bloviate. And for him to put a letter like that out there and make it public, that to me says there's a big problem. Big problem.
You betcha there is. And this guy was not being truthful at all. And in fact, when you mentioned it, he kind of got angry.
Yeah, you heard that. Yeah, he got a little his feathers got ruffled.
Pardon?
His feathers got ruffled.
They sure did. And you can look for it to change. It's bound to happen unless somebody does something about it.
Well, we're gonna stay focused on this. It's a big story, and I know there's a lot going on the other side of the aisle, but we've got to stay focused on what the Republicans are up to. Marvin, appreciate that call. Let's go to Wayne, North Carolina. Hi, Wayne. What's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. How are you today, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Thank you. I'd like to make a couple of comments, one about Michelle Obama and one about the RNC.
Real quick.
Michelle Obama, that would be an absolute travesty for this country for that to happen, for her to be the president-elect. You know, her husband, President Obama, when he came into office, he said that he wanted to fundamentally change America. Well, he did start that process and divided this country, and he did it for 8 years. Now he's in his third term under Joe Biden, actually running the country, in my opinion. And if Michelle Obama was in there, it'd be a fourth term for President Obama to further take this country down the road. You know, I remember seeing when he was in president, they had him one time showing a book that he was holding when he got out of the limousine that said, Life After America. Well, that's his agenda, in my opinion, is to do exactly what he said, fundamentally change America to global. And rather than being the America that we are.
Oh, look, let me explain Obama real quick here in a nutshell. This guy is a colonialist, just like his father was back in Kenya. And so Barack Obama doesn't even believe that America is the legitimate nation, Wayne. That's the broader issue. And his wife Look, she's kind of like the a version of Hillary Clinton, right? She only got to where she is because of her husband. Wayne, I got to run, my friend. I'm so sorry we couldn't finish that that conversation. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. And, wow, tomorrow, Independence Day. A lot of great celebrations around the nation. If you're in the Memphis area, you got to go by Graceland. Graceland.com is the website. And we just had a lot of fun on yesterday's show with the folks from Graceland. And they've got a massive weekend. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall musical concerts, movies, all things Elvis. As we celebrate America over at Graceland. All right. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and bring into the conversation our good friend, Congressman Andy Biggs, representing Arizona's 5th Congressional District. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's great to be with you. Happy 4th.
Well, yes, sir. And look, Congressman, wow, this is insane what's happening, right? It's almost like something you would see on House of Cards, this drama, this open rebellion in the Democrat Party right now.
Yeah, and I want to just let them implode as much as we can. I think Republicans, we don't want to give them any way out. You know, I mean, they're imploding. It is a scrambled egg mess right now. They're not sure whether they want to keep Joe Biden. Joe Biden, in my opinion, I'd love to keep Joe Biden. He's the guy that I want to have Donald Trump run against. But right now you've got people freaking out. And by the way, they've known the incapacities of Joe Biden for a long, long time.
Right.
They just hoped that they could cover it up.
And again, this goes back to what happened on House Judiciary when Merrick Garland refused to turn over those audio tapes from the special counsel, and we know just from the way and the description that he appeared to be an elderly man with a poor memory. And what happened? There was massive blowback from the White House and everybody else saying, "Oh, that just wasn't true."
They've covered it up. I mean, it's ridiculous. And some people are saying Kamala and company, they should all be impeached because they covered this up. But the bottom line is, leaving that aside, the audio recording is so important because it's material to understanding how the special counsel operated. And that is something that we have oversight over. And we need to understand what he was talking about. And the other thing, too, that's important as well, I mean, just from the pure legal standpoint, they admitted that they had, when I say they, I mean the DOJ, admitted that they had edited the final transcript. They said nothing substantively, so it's no big deal. How would we know that unless we got to hear the audio recording to determine whether it was substantive or just what was there? They need to provide that audio recording. They refused to. He should be held in contempt. He has been held in contempt, and now he must either cure the contempt by giving us the audio or in my opinion, he should be incarcerated the way they're incarcerating Republicans.
Lock him up. In all seriousness, I'm so sick of this. And again, our thoughts are with Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, two political prisoners in this country, Congressman.
Absolutely. Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, and we call them political prisoners because this is a persecution of political adversaries. By the way, from an illegitimate gaggle of people in Congress who didn't have authority, they formed an ostensible committee against the rules that they themselves voted for in order to establish it. And the rules of the House, for instance, say you got to have a ranking member. And a ranking member has to be appointed by the minority leader, which would have been by Kevin McCarthy. They would refuse to allow him to appoint his people. And that means that you can't issue a subpoena because in order to issue a subpoena, the ranking member has to review the subpoena and receive notification. You don't have a ranking member, you cannot follow the rules. It's bogus, and it's being done for political purposes, thus why we say political prisoner.
Congressman, is it possible that there could be an investigation, a congressional investigation into this cover-up? Because everybody's known about it. I mean, it's not like everybody just woke up one day and said, oh, wow, the guy has no brain. It's turned to mush. Do you think that there could be and there should be some sort of an investigation from Congress?
Yeah, I think there should be. And here's why. Because the 25th Amendment was established to deal with, post Woodrow Wilson, where he had the stroke and his wife's taken over, is to actually provide some kind of orderly transition if you have a president become incapacitated. If they have covered it up, it is because they've been able to exercise independent power in creating fiefdoms, and we end up getting run by an oligarchy, which is contrary to constitutional republic. So we must have hearings to get to the bottom of this. And it's going to take us probably a couple of years to get to the bottom of this because these guys are so obstructionist. But the bottom line is, Todd, if you don't have that orderly flow within your chief executive in the executive branch, then you have actually devolved from a constitutional republic, and we've got to find that out. And we're gonna have to get on that, quite frankly.
Big time. All right, Congressman Andy Biggs on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, just a few moments ago, we had Michael Whatley, the chairman of the RNC, joining us. There are some grave concerns among Republicans and especially conservatives that something is up with the platform. Chairman Whatley denies that there's a gag order in place, but Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council published an open letter to Whatley and said flat out there is a gag order. There's going to be no media coverage, no C-SPAN coverage. Everything's going to be done behind closed doors. Are you hearing any concerns from fellow Republicans about maybe watering down the party platform?
I have heard some in my state. I haven't heard it nationally, but in my state, there's been some concerns that they're going to attack, for instance, the pro-life platform and try to plank of the platform to try to water that down, make it murkier, in my opinion, probably make it a little bit more amorphous, where everybody can read in whatever it is they want to read into it. That's not appropriate. We've always had a solid platform. The platform we had 4 years ago was excellent. And that's, in my opinion, that's where we need to be. But if the process is that you've brought this in, you're closing it up, that's not healthy. And I am hearing that there's an attempt to do that so that they can actually water down some of these important planks of the platform.
So how would the average Republican, how would they respond to that? Who do they need to be reaching out to, encouraging people to toe the party line here?
Well, every state has two national committee men, committee men and a committee woman, and they should reach out to them and get their thoughts on it and send them information and send them with marching orders. And then you should also basically let Michael Whatley and Laura Trump know, send them to them. They're the co-chairs of the party, and let them know what your thoughts are. That's where you go. And the third area you would go is you find out who your delegates to the convention are going to be, and let them know what your opinion is. Those are three places you could go as a regular Republican.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs joining us, ladies and gentlemen, on Independence Day Eve You know, Congressman, I have to give President Trump so much credit here. He has played this so well. He is winning on so many different fronts. It reminds me of the time he said, you're going to get tired. You're going to get tired of winning. I don't think I'm there yet. I want to see more winning. But the way he has just pulled back and he's letting the Democrats implode, this is an incredible campaign strategy he's playing right now.
Yeah, and he's doing it right because, like I say, it would be real easy to try to get in and stir it up and make it even worse and maybe provide them lifelines, you know, unintentionally. But right now they are in death throes because they've been revealed as having lied to the public now for quite some time. They've been gaslighting us on policies like the border and economy and inflation and those types of things. But now it turns out they've been gaslighting us on the gaslighter in chief, Joe Biden. And so it's beautiful for him to sit back because I know we all want to get in there and just maybe stir the pot. And sometimes we go overkill here, but he's playing it. In my opinion, he's being judicious about how he's approaching it. And that's important.
Real quick, before we let you go, are you friends with any Democrats up on Capitol Hill, or do you have cordial relationships with any of them?
Yeah, I do. There's a number of Democrats that I talk to on a regular basis, and there are others that I will work with. You know, I'll work with anybody if it's there. But yeah, I do talk to a number of Democrats.
So what are they saying about Biden? Do we think the end is near for the president?
No, I don't. See, I don't think the end is near for the president. That's just me, and I've been wrong before, obviously. But when I talk to some of my Democrat friends, and I just say, "Well, what's going to happen?" To be frank with you, they all just try to change the subject. They don't.
Wow.
They don't want to talk about it. They will roll their eyes. Because they've known it. I mean, literally, you've had people like Jamie Raskin get in there and say, "Oh, he is cogent. He's all over. You know, he's just fine." But the thing about Jamie Raskin, he's perpetually lying to us on everything. And he was, you know, the J6 insurrectionist dude that he's he's a partisan. He's a hopeless partisan hack. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, those who have to run in races in more competitive districts, and that's who most of my friends are that I talk to, they just roll their eyes like, you know, what can I do? There's nothing they can do.
All right. Well, Congressman, again, appreciate all the great insight and your candor, and I hope you're back in Arizona for the 4th.
I am. It's a beautiful time to be here. It's going to be really hot, but you know, we love our country here, and you know, it's going to be a great day of celebrations. And I've got various places I'll be going to meet with constituents, and it'll be a great day.
All right,
and happy Independence Day to you and your listeners too.
Well, likewise, thank you, Congressman Andy Biggs, everybody from Arizona's 5th congressional district. Great American patriot, and of course, also a member of the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So, interesting, RFK Jr. in the news. There's a photograph circulating of him eating what appears to be the carcass of a dog. It is as disgusting as you might imagine. And so anyway, RFK Jr. was asked about this on Fox News Channel. Sir, is it true that you ate a barbecued dog? Here's what he had to say.
This Vanity Fair story, I want to give you an opportunity to address it, that has a picture of you holding up what looks like a carcass of a dog and pretending to take a bite out of it. It's getting a lot of attention. So I want to ask you if you want to explain that photo. Is that a cheap fake? Is that a real photo? What was going on there?
Now that is a real photo. It's of me at a campfire in Patagonia on the Futaleufu River eating a goat, which is what we eat down there. Vanity Fair said that they talked to veterinarians who assured them that it was a dog, that they had meta-analysis that showed that it was in Korea and that it was in Korea meeting a dog, and that statement is emblematic of the entire article, of the lack of sort of journalistic standards throughout that article.
Okay, I'm glad we gave you the opportunity to address that. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Sir, have you now or have you ever eaten a canine? This is where we are in American politics, by the way. RFK, who's only 70 years old, he sounds 140 in that interview. RFK Jr. telling Vanity Fair, there are only three things I would not eat in the world. Number one is a human being, which is good. We appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Number two is a monkey. And number three, he would not eat a dog, which is interesting because he's now implying that he would eat a cat. So RFK Jr., the headline, RFK Jr., I would not eat a dog, but a cat sounds mighty tasty. Give me one of those pussy cats. That's good eating. A fricasseed feline. This guy's really weird. It turns out, though, a veterinarian actually examined the photograph here, folks, and the carcass actually has 13 pairs of ribs, including a floating rib, which suggests that he did, in fact, eat a dog. Dylan, I'm curious, would you how hungry would you have to be to eat a dog?
I would have to be stranded on an island, and the dog would have to be the only thing there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I would just, you know what, just Lord take me now. Yep. I'm good.
Yep.
All right. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this Independence Day Eve. Hope you're having a great, great 4th of July celebration. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, look, coming up in the next hour, we're going to do a full hour of fun Independence Day-themed trivia. We'll also keep you updated on any breaking news that happens. President Biden is expected to go out, have some sort of a Medal of Honor ceremony a little bit later on today. I want to play some audio for you. This is from an interview that Congressman Wesley Hunt did out of Texas. And honestly, this tells me everything I need to know about Donald Trump. So Congressman Hunt was on the Sage Steele show, and he told the story of when President Trump met with the Taliban leaders. And honestly, they ought to just turn this interview into a Trump campaign commercial. Cut number five.
Give you my favorite President Trump story. It's my number one favorite of all time. When we were negotiating with the Taliban while President Trump was still the president, President Trump wanted to get out of Afghanistan, but he wanted a conditions-based withdrawal, meaning that you do what we tell you to do, and then we will start pulling troops back slowly as long as you abide by our rules. It's President Trump and Mike Pompeo, and they are talking to Taliban leadership in the room, and they had one translator in the room. President Trump looked at the Taliban leader and said this: I want to leave Afghanistan, but it's going to be a conditions-based withdrawal. And translator translated. And he said, if you harm a hair on a single American, I'm going to kill you. And the translator goes, and Trump goes, tell him what I said. Reached in his pocket, pulled out a satellite photo of the leader of the Taliban's home and handed it to him.
Shut up.
Got up and walked out the room.
That's boss. I love it. That's Donald J. Trump right there. And by the way, this is why America didn't have to go to war when Donald Trump was in the White House.
because of that sort of mentality. I love Donald Trump. What a great man. What a great man. As a matter of fact, if you remember, the American embassy in Baghdad came under attack. President Trump was awakened. It happened in the middle of the night. They woke up President Trump, and he was on the phone with his national security team literally in the middle of the night. 48 hours later, Qassem Soleimani was dead, blown to smithereens, spending eternity in hell with the 40 vegans, virgins, my apologies, vegans. So the question was raised by Democrats. They were having a closed-door meeting yesterday, and the question was asked of President Biden, if the phone rang at 2 o'clock in the morning, would President Biden even know he was president? That's coming from the Democrats. All right, hang tight. We're getting to your calls next. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, I'm Lex Howard, CEO of Balance of Nature. When I think of Independence Day, I think of flags lining the street of my neighborhood. I think of good quality time spent with my family and the amazing spirit of our founding fathers. Celebrating America is important. True patriotism involves an ongoing commitment to founding values. Patriotic Americans unite to protect our founding values of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. True patriotism involves celebrating the rights and freedoms we enjoy as Americans. We have the freedom to pursue the American dream. We have freedom of speech. We're able to call for change and stand as forces that will help shape our nation for future generations. To be a patriot is not an event. It is a constant battle and pursuit. Happy Independence Day from Balance of Nature, and God bless America and her people.
So you know who I really don't feel bad for. I'm sort of enjoying the Democrat on Democrat violence here. But just think about this for a moment. We just went through how many state primaries and caucuses, or caucus, if you will. How many of those did we go through? And the voters decided that Joe Biden was their guy, right? So Joe Biden went out there. The voters went out there. They got behind their guy. And they gave him the numbers he needs to be the nominee for president. And now all of a sudden, you've got the mainstream media, you have Democrat leadership, and it looks to me like they're trying to stage a very public coup now to take out the rightful nominee of their party. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from Liberty University, our good friend Dave Bratt. Dave, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, doing well, Todd. Great to be on. And today it's just Dave Bratt speaking for Dave Bratt when it gets into the politics realm.
Yeah, no, we got you there. But isn't it weird, though, that all of a sudden now, I mean, everybody in the media, everybody in Democrat leadership has known for at least 2 years that Biden has not been well. He has been almost somewhat incapacitated. So it's a bit disingenuous for them to come out now and say, oh, my God, we've got to find somebody else.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. I hosted the War Room with Bannon for the last couple of days, and we've gone through what I called yesterday the rest of the story, right? And so it's fairly stunning the gaslighting they've done. I forgot a lot of it myself, right? Back President Trump, when he got into office, the Justice Department, I had Matt Whitaker on, the former Attorney General, head of the Justice Department yesterday. And I said, Matt, was the Lady Justice blind under you? And he said, yeah, of course. We ran a clean ship by Trump. You recall Hillary did the bleach bit computer stuff, all that. No charges, no drawn outside of the lines. We were within the rule of law, et cetera. And then, you know, I'm sitting in Peter Navarro's in jail. Bannon's in jail. Trump can put him in jail July 12th. He's convicted. They can put him in jail anytime they decide. And now, like you're saying, they're throwing the democracy thing at us already, right? That Trump, you know, because of the Supreme Court decisions this week, is going to be outside of justice or whatever. Well, there's no evidence of that. They haven't offered any evidence. And then to double down on democracy. They are the ones who, like you just said, are doing a alternative coronation. But I don't know about that. I had a couple folks on yesterday that had, there's money problems with the Biden-Harris PAC. That money can't go to anyone else. There's 50 state rule books on complexities of these elections. That's a problem. And so, yeah, they're going to try, and this is a rarity, right? Because Republicans are individualists, and we're always brawling with each other, and our leadership doesn't help us coordinate any message ever. But this is interesting to see the Democrats in total disarray and meltdown and floating all sorts of new names and new polls, which are very different than the polls 1 or 2 months ago. So, you know, just you're going to do a good job of keeping everyone up to date.
The latest we're hearing, the latest names being floated out, it's like every 20 seconds we're getting
right,
a new rumor.
Right.
But the latest is Kamala Harris would be running with either Pete Buttigieg as the VP or Gretchen Whitmer. So you would have an all-female, thing, or and then yeah. The female, the gay. And, you know, you're hitting all the diversity cards there. And that's the problem, I think, because they have played this DEI game for so long, and now it's coming back, and it looks like it's biting them in the behind.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I don't think any of that's plausible at all in terms of a winning strategy. And the money folks who have put up the money aren't going to accept that. And so then you fall back to Michelle Obama, et cetera. But the basic problem is the Bidens, right? They're Congressman Scott Perry has been on, and et cetera. And the problem is they have $1 million checks signed to the Biden family names, and they need to be able to take care of their own. Hunter and maybe the president and the Supreme Court, you know, those the decision on immunity was for official acts only, right? So checks coming from China doesn't qualify underneath official acts. And so Jill and the Bidens, they feel they've been, put down by the Obamas over the years, by the Clintons over the years. So there's no love lost there. And everybody I've talked to says Biden has to make the choice voluntarily to step down. And so that's the marker, right? I'm waiting to first see if that doesn't happen, then it's pure speculation and probably won't happen. But if he does, then we got a horse race. Then it's going to be interesting.
Do you think that helps Trump or hurts Trump? I mean, if Biden stays in, Trump wins in what could be a landslide. But if there's somebody else like a Michelle Obama, the Reuters polling came out, and we had a caller take me to task earlier today. He says, never, ever, ever trust any polls at all. But that poll shows Michelle Obama beating Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know. That's the one I was talking about. And 2 months ago, it did not show that. And so, yeah, in all political views are my own here. I don't buy that either. There's books out that are ready to launch, right? And so Michelle Obama hasn't ever made not even a wink toward the idea that she might run ever. And once she does, then the avalanche of criticism comes down from everybody, including your own side this time, right? Because then she leapfrogs over Harris, the VP, and that will be a guaranteed food fight, I would guess, right? Why isn't the VP, chosen or along with the Democratic idea you started the piece off with, right? They were chosen. Why do the party leaders at the last minute get to do what Obama always wants? But Obama is running things, right? The first, I think it was D.C. Drano had a good piece that he said, Biden's got the delegates, but Obama has the media. Mm-hmm. And so at first, right after the debate, it was decimating. All the CNN, MSNBC said he's got to go. I was stunned, right? That's the first time ever. But then 8 hours later, Obama put the word out and everybody circled the wagons. And that was fascinating to see, right? The media just turning 180 around on such major earth-shattering news.
And you and I
it was
stunning. Yeah, we've been around the Beltway a time or two, and that just doesn't happen. And and the talking points. Yeah. I mean, it was so obvious within 2 minutes. Everybody was using the same talking points. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
My
right.
cell phone's going. It's blowing up. People are texting me. You know, it's come on. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and here's the inconvenient truth, though, Dave Brapp, is that they've been talking about Kamala Harris being, you know, the first African-American vice president. Her mother's Indian. Her father is Jamaican. So I think if she's going toe-to-toe against Michelle Obama, she loses that argument. I really do. But it's a mess.
Yeah, no, that's – well, that I think you're right. She loses that argument, but to displace the sitting VP – well, you're right. A lot of it does hinge on all the – right,
it's
I know.
Those diversity
I know.
Cards.
I can't – my head's popping.
It's, right? I know.
We've been gaslit so bad as a country, we just can't even believe it anymore.
If we could just ask a favor of the Democrats, could you guys just put it on hold for the holiday, and we'll pick it back up on Monday?
Right. Right. Wow. My head's spinning. Just trying to follow the headlines. And then you got world news that matters. The Russians are sending another round of aggressive missiles down to the Caribbean and Cuba right now, right? None of this is in the news, right? Everyone's speculating about personalities.
We're
missing the big stuff.
It's never a good day.
Scary.
It's never a good day when you have a Russian, you know, sub parked off the Florida coastline there.
No. No, and that's, you know, they're doing the golden rule on us, right? They said don't mess in our buffer zone called Ukraine.
That's it.
And we messed with it. We messed it up. We're shooting our folks, our proxies, shooting missiles over at them. And so they're all of a sudden now you got to be nervous, right? It's not going to be World War III, but they're gonna launch a few missiles into a cow pasture at a minimum, I would think.
Mm. All right, Dave, we got to leave it there. I know you got to get going for your Independence Day celebrations.
Yeah.
And so always good hearing from you, my friend.
Yeah, you too, Todd. Great show. Thank you, brother.
Right,
keep it up.
Good man from Liberty University, Dr. Dave Brapp, and he did a terrific job in Congress, too. And we love our friends at Liberty University. All right, 901-260-5926. As promised, let's go to the phone lines here. Our good buddy Connor in Boston. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I'm going to tell you, I was listening to the interview with the RNC chair, and you know what? I'm just throwing my hands up in the air by listening to this guy with some of the things he said on there. It's like, we do not need, I hope he's listening too, we don't need another rhino. They're not going to have C-SPAN in there. And he's getting a little squirrely with his words right there, you know. He got a little agitated with you. So I think we need to make it clear to him that we will not tolerate another rhino as the head of the RNC. It's just, we can't afford it right now. We need to take back a country here.
Yeah, Connor, I think you're right. And look, I heard him. He was, I'm like, Mr. Chairman, I'm asking these questions as nicely as possible, but you got to answer him. And he was getting aggravated.
And see, when you ask questions, you've always done this. You're a straight shooter. You ask the questions that people want to hear. And, you know, some of these politicians, they just don't want to answer them. They want to have these cookie cutter, you know, squishy questions asked to them. And, you know, they have to answer them because the voters have a right to know.
Connor, it concerns me because we have a bad history on the Republican side of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And if they meddle around, and going back to Ronald Reagan, who said we need to have a bold and vibrant party platform, but it is clearly being watered down.
We need to have a strong conservative platform is what we need to do. We have an America First platform,
yep.
And we need to have the platform of President Trump.
I like that.
Those are the winning things of the day. And the last thing we're going to say is we don't need a Michelle Obama presidency. So please, Republicans, do not screw it up.
Thank you, Connor. All right, God bless. Happy Independence Day, Connor from Boston. Let's go to Joe in North Carolina. Hello, Joe.
Happy 4th of July, my friend. Hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, Joe. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a theme song for Joe Biden's campaign. You remember the old Neil Diamond song, I Am, I Said? Well, the chorus says, I am, I said, to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I am, I cried. I am, said I, and I am lost, and I can't even say why. I thought that'd be a perfect theme song for his campaign.
Joe, you're a good man and a great lyricist there. Yeah, you know what? We'll try to hunt that down And maybe we'll play a little bit of it. So there you go. New theme song for Biden. I love it. Let's go to Pastor John in Kentucky. Hello, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Mr. Stearns. I'm going to be real serious for a moment, even though that was a good song. You ought to use that as a theme song. Cindy and I both served, and she's a Marine, and I'm in the Army, so she runs the house. And the question I have is that, you know, tomorrow is July 4th, you know, celebrating our independence. But the question I have for you, and I'll hang up and listen for your response, is since there is a 25th Amendment and everybody was yelling about that when President Trump was in office, couldn't the cabinet as well as Kamala Harris, could they not invoke the 25th Amendment? Because obviously, and you've seen it as well as a lot of your conservative colleagues have seen, especially after the debate, the man is actually incompetent and he has the nuclear football code. So could they not invoke the 25th Amendment and have him removed and then put somebody else in place? And I will hang up and listen for your answer. God bless you, Todd. God bless our men and women that serve, and God bless those that have served.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Pastor, and thank you and your wife for serving as well. I'm going to answer this by sharing some breaking news coming out from the Associated Press, where, according to the AP's reporting, Biden and Harris joined a campaign call earlier today, and they say they are going to keep fighting after the debate flop. So there you have it. The latest coming out from Washington is that President Biden is going to stay in the race. They made a surprise appearance today on a Democratic National Committee call, and they said they're in the fight for reelection together. And there you go. So this is breaking news. Biden and Harris say they're going to fight together till the bitter end. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I am myself to no one there.
I feel like I should be holding a candle or something and swaying outdoors at the Botanic Gardens here in Memphis. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Oh, by the way, interesting. If you're in Memphis, we've got a great fun music scene, and there's a big outdoor venue called the Botanic Gardens, and they do live at the gardens, and they do these big concerts. And who is it that's coming up, Dylan? It's the
Goo Goo Dolls.
I was going to say the Goo Goo Clusters. Sorry, that's a dessert. I'm sorry. That's
easily
gonna be
mixed up, Todd.
That's going to be a good concert, much like Biden. That's going to be a good concert.
Oh yeah.
Very
good.
Very nice.
A lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fun. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Donna, Georgia. Hi, Donna. What's on your mind today?
Well, on my mind is Independence Day. And even though we have a million problems in this country, I really do miss the way Donald Trump made a big deal out of Independence Day. And he just, remember him on Mount Rushmore?
Oh, I do. And hugging the flag, remember that when he literally embraced Old Glory?
Yeah, he always made it a very patriotic holiday, and I really miss that a lot about him because you just don't see it anymore. And I think we should make a big deal out of the Independence Day because we are an independent country right now, and I'm hoping that Trump will get in there and change that back so we can have big celebrations on the 4th of July.
Donna, I have no doubt that when President Trump puts his hand on the Bible and July 4th rolls around, you're going to have a 4th of July celebration like you have never seen before. I guarantee it.
I hope so, because I've really missed that.
Absolutely. Well, you hang tight, Donna. And one of the ways we're going to be able to do that is get out there, and everybody, you got to go vote on Election Day. It really is that simple. Donna, thank you for that call. Now, coming up in the next hour, we're going to do some great – we're going to do trivia. It's Independence Day trivia. And, Dylan, this is sort of exciting. This is either going to be spectacular radio or we're going to go up in flames. But we have Little Stearns. We used to call him Little Stearns, but now he's taller than all of us.
No, he's not little. He's taller than me.
So, yeah. Kate, yes. Kate,
I'm 6'2", by the way.
You're 6'2"?
Yeah.
And he's much younger than you.
He's not even a junior in high school.
Wow. So Caden Starnes is going to be here. We've got a new Starnes you're going to be introduced to momentarily. Also, Aidan Pettit, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, one of the huge theater stars in the country, is going to join us. And we're going to have trivia, a chance for you to win some great prizes. Here's the first question. So go ahead and get in queue. What country gave the Statue of Liberty to the United States? What country gave the Statue of Liberty to the United States? We're going to kick off trivia momentarily. Give us a call if you know the answer. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Again, trivia coming up next on Independence Day Eve here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Happy Independence Eve, America. Hope you're doing well out there, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. We have got a lot of fun. As promised, this is a trivia hour here on the program. So here's the deal. Barring nuclear war, we're going to steer clear of news for the next 60 minutes. If there is breaking news, I'll jump in and we'll share that with you. But as we left it, the Associated Press reporting at the top of the hour, that President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris are still in the race and they're not planning on, at least he's not planning on pulling out. So we will keep you updated if there are any further developments there. Also tonight, 5 o'clock, be sure to watch my show on Newsmax. 5 o'clock Eastern, we'll be giving you all the very latest coming out of Washington and the chaos there surrounding the presidential race. All right, so it is trivia, and yesterday we had a lot of fun. We were talking to the folks from Graceland, and they've got a huge celebration coming up, and it was just a lot of fun talking about the positive stuff coming out of Memphis. And today we have two very special guests with us, and one of them is actually related to me, Caden Starnes. And Caden, you may not know this, but for years we called you Little Starnes on the show. And it was meant as a compliment, but you're actually taller than all of us. So welcome, Caden. Hope you're doing well. And tell me, you've been doing football and everything. Is that right?
Yeah, I play football at Christian Brothers High School.
Christian Brothers High School. And we're going to talk. You just got back from a big football camp down in Louisiana. Tell us about that real quick.
So every year I go down to a football camp in Louisiana. It's Manning Passing Academy. And it's the best camp I've ever been to in my life. There's over 60 college quarterbacks. You go learn from the best, the Manning brothers. It doesn't get much better than the Manning brothers.
So we're excited. So do you want to play college ball? Is that the goal here?
The dream for me is to play college football at Ole Miss.
Okay. And then after Ole Miss, the NFL, and you will remember your beloved cousin.
Obviously.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we have an understanding there. Also, we're excited to have back with us Aidan Pettit.
Yes, sir.
And Aidan, you're just back from New York City, and you were a part of a big event there. You're one of the top. I guess, can we now say, based on the nomination for the Jimmy Award, that you're the best actor in all of the Mid-South?
Oh, that is absolutely a stretch, I'll tell you that. But there's plenty of people from the Mid-South that went. There's people from Georgia. There's a couple regions in Tennessee that get to go as well. So there's a lot of me's, you know, in the Mid-South. Yeah. But there's a lot of Jimmy Awards nominees. But yeah, it was a blast. It was absolutely so much
fun.
So
this was like the high school version of the Tonys. Is that a good description of it?
It is. It's a very good description. Yep. It's just all the regional programs from around the country, they nominate their people and they go to New York, and we compete, and there's a best actor, best actress, and yeah, it's kind of the Tony Awards for high schoolers.
So you got nominated. It was a lot. So how was New York City? Was that your first time in the city?
It was not my first time. I actually went in March with my high school theater department, we all went for just a vacation, kind of see what it's like, because, you know, for a theater department, New York is a lot of fun.
Sure.
But it was really different being there. You know, I was without my parents for 10 days. It was a really fun experience that it was kind of separate from, you know, school and family. It was kind of almost independent.
You didn't need bail money or anything.
I did not.
Oh, that's good.
Thank the Lord.
Right. Amen for that. All right. Very good. All right. Well, gentlemen, you're going to help us as we go through trivia today. And the guys are going to be sharing some of the questions. And folks, we're going to try to win you some great prizes. I believe we have signed copies of my brand new book called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And if you're on hold, don't hang up, because I know we have a lot of people, full lines already. We started out with the following question, and let's go to Ron, who's listening to us in the great state of Oregon. Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing good, Todd. I'm doing great.
Well,
I believe it was France.
Ron, we have just fallen on our face right out of the gate here. You got to let me give the question, Ron.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. But all right, so we're going to try it again here, Ron. We're just going to play make believe. Ron, we need to know, what country gave the Statue of Liberty to the United States?
It was France. That gave it to us in 1876.
Yeah, that's right. That's right there, Ron. Congratulations, Ron. Yeah, that is correct. The people of France commemorated 100 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You know, they love Benjamin Franklin. And as a result of all of that, they gave us a beautiful Statue of Liberty, which is still there. And by the way, if someone made this notation, ladies and gentlemen, that the sea level in New York Harbor has not changed since the Statue of Liberty was erected there. Just want to throw that out. So, Ron, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you hooked up with a prize. So thank you for playing the game. All right, let's go to Terry in North Carolina. Hi, Terry. How are you today?
I'm doing fairly well. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you for that, Terry. We've got Aiden and Caden here. I didn't realize your names actually rhyme here,
they do,
guys.
We didn't
plan for that.
There you go.
Aiden, we're gonna try to win you a prize here, Terry. Aiden, we're gonna let you do question number one here about the Liberty Bell. This one right here.
All righty. All right. Your question is: every Independence Day, how many times does the Liberty Bell ring?
Oh, this is a great question.
I actually did not know this.
Terry, you want to take a gander?
Well,
how many times does the Liberty Bell ring on Independence Day?
I don't really have
just
a clue.
Take a wild guess, Terry.
It's more than 10.
No. Sorry. Sorry, Terry. Good try. Let's go to Henry. Oh, that was sort of tragic. Let's go to Henry in Georgia. Hi, Henry. How are you?
Hey, this is Emery. Yes, I am good. And you?
Emery, doing great. Thank you. I think I need a drink. All right, Emery, here's the deal. We have a question on the table here. So, Aiden, go ahead and read that question again for Emery.
Every Independence Day, how many times does the Liberty Bell ring?
13.
Wow. You got it?
Is it right?
Yeah, that is correct.
All right, 13 times. Emery, how did you know that? Was that a wild guess?
No, actually, I knew the one about the Statue of Liberty. And I remember a lot about Benjamin Franklin and the bell, and basically it came in symbolically to 13 times honor patriots from the 13 original states.
I had no idea, so we have learned a lot here. And, of course, Emery, you're one of the great elected leaders there in Georgia. Are you're a state representative or senator, Emery?
State representative. We're the ones that have a little bit of brain. The senators just wander around lost all the time.
Oh, wow. All right. Throwing shade. All right. Very good.
I'm kidding.
Interesting. There's an interesting follow-up. I wonder if Emery knows the follow-up here, Aiden, to this question.
All right. Your follow-up is, in 1876, the United States celebrated the centennial in Philadelphia with a display of replica Liberty Bells from each state. Now, Pennsylvania's display bell was made out of what?
We're going to give you a three choices here.
All right, okay. Your options are A, sugar, B, duct tape, or C, clay.
A, sugar, B.
Mm-hmm. Are you on?
I'm going to go. Avery. I'm going to go with C.
No, but that's okay. No, that's okay. It's not clay. It's actually sugar.
Bellman,
really?
Out of sugar.
That was a good guess. I would have put sugar, but I figured, well, Georgia's known for the red clay. Figured we might have sent up a little clay.
There you go. Are you literally pull off on the side of the road? We can hear your blinker.
I just now did because there was a truck coming up on me pretty fast. And I thought I better just go ahead and pull off before I have a wreck.
Well, we're glad you did that. You know, Matt Schlapp from CPAC was on the show live doing an interview on his phone, and wow. He got pulled over by the cops. And I tried to get him out of that ticket, but I think the guy watched CNN, so the cop did. So that's unfortunate. That's terrible. All right, Emery, hang tight. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. And, folks, we're going to have to take a quick break. In the meantime, here is another trivia question we're going to throw out on the table here. We want to know, what city has the biggest fireworks display in the country? Aiden, do not answer this. What city has the biggest fireworks display in the country? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stearns Radio Show on this Independence Day Eve, and we're doing a lot of trivia. Here in studio, we have Aiden Pettit and Caden Starnes, Next Generation. Caden, do you have any aspirations of, like, after your stellar football career, doing broadcasting?
Yeah, I think I actually want to start working here.
You should. Would you like my job?
I think it would be great. I would love your job.
We'll just pass it on down to the next generation. All right. So here is we do have a trivia question out on the table, and the question is: what city is home to the biggest fireworks display in the country? So give us a call if you know the answer. That's 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Carrington in North Carolina. Hi, Carrington. How are you today?
Hey, buddy. Pretty good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. All right. You want to take a stab at this one? The city with the biggest fireworks display in the country.
I will take a stab. I'm going to say I can just take one stab.
One stab.
All right. Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God. No, Carrington. I'm so sorry. That was not it. But good guess. It was a good guess. So we still have that question on the table here. The city with the biggest fireworks display in the country, it is not Washington, D.C. Aiden, did you know the answer to this before you saw the answer?
I did not. And honestly, Washington, D.C., I can't believe it's not. Like, you feel like it should be, honestly, because
right.
It's the nation's capital. Like, biggest, you know, display of patriotism, but I guess not.
I was going to say Germantown, Tennessee, but that's
yeah, you know,
definitely not
close
it.
Close second.
There you go. That's good. All right. So while we're waiting for that question, Caden, let's give out another question for the crowd.
So who is the author of The Pledge of Allegiance?
This is a tough one. Who is the author of The Pledge of Allegiance? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, while we're waiting, Caden, you're dancing over some audio. There was an incident, and Aiden, last year, Caden was at this football camp.
All right.
Tell us what happened, Caden. You're packing the bags, and I guess what happened?
So, we're talking about
the shorts. This is a great story.
The shorts. So, last year I was playing 77 at the camp, and I got asked to go throw with the college quarterbacks for the Nike showcase night on the field. So, I went on the field, you know, running my routes, doing my stuff, and, I got called out for my little shorts by the best quarterback in history.
So Cooper Cooper Manning.
Or not Cooper, sorry. I think it was Eli.
Was it Eli Manning? Eli Manning is doing like the play-by-play of all of this. And what happened? I mean, because you don't normally wear short shorts, do you?
So what happened was I was actually in a rush. And we stay in dorms at MPA, and I had to run to my little brother's dorm. And I grabbed the first pair of shorts I could see that were clean. And they ended up two sizes too small. So
hilarious.
That's insane. So, yeah. Dylan, we actually have, this is Eli Manning doing the play-by-play. I just want to say this was a proud moment for our family. We were just so honored and excited.
Momentous occasion.
Dylan, let's play. Let's play this.
God said that in Memphis. You throw Seth. My God, look how tight those guys' shorts are. Those are illegal in a couple states, too.
That's hilarious.
Those are illegal in a couple of states. Oh my gosh. You got to love it. All right. let's go to the phone lines here. Germantown, Tennessee. Murph, our great history professor, joins us. Hey, Murph, how are you today?
Pretty good, Dr. Starnes. Thanks for the opportunity.
And Murph. Well, Murph, hold on. Murph, hold on. I don't want you to give out the name just yet. I have to tell you, you're on the air with Caden Starnes and Aiden Pettit, and they're going to give you a lifeline here if you need one. But, Caden, read out the question for Professor Murph.
Who is the author of the Pledge of Allegiance?
His last name is Bellamy. I can't remember.
That's right.
Yeah, I would have just stuck with Bellamy. Yeah, congratulations.
The interesting fact about Mr. Bellamy is that how would you kind of describe him as a atheistic spiritualist. And the part of there where it says in the pledge where it says under God, that was put in during the Eisenhower administration.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Murph, the original version of the pledge did not include under God. That was actually added, in 1954?
Yeah, 54. I was going to say 50. I knew it was in the 50s. But people think, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance is outstanding. But the original author, he's up there with Thoreau and Emerson, who are kind of skeptical about everything, you know. Well, maybe it is, maybe that, let's try that. But he was not the devout Christian that people think he was.
No, he was not. So he wasn't. Murph, well, congratulations. I know you didn't come to my book signing in Germantown at the community coffee. Congregation Coffee. That's a great coffee house. But so we're going to hook you up with a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming.
Well, cousin there.
Well, we're real proud of Caden, and Aiden's not related, but we're proud of you too, Aiden.
Well, thank you.
You guys are doing great. Murph, hang tight. We're going to get all of your info. You can swing by KWAM and pick up your great gift. All right, guys, we've got one more question for this segment, and Aiden, why don't you give us that question as we go to break?
All righty. We got a multiple choice question. It says, roughly how many hamburgers are consumed on July the 4th? We got A, 74 million. B, 147 million, or C, 250 million. That's how many hamburgers are consumed on July 4th.
All right. If you know the answer, if you're on hold, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. 901-260-5926. We have John in Tennessee, Marcia in South Carolina, Janie in Memphis. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Everybody, good to have you with us. And folks, It is still not too late. I know many of you are having the big, big cookouts tomorrow. Well, I want to encourage you to check out our friends over at BackyardButchers.com. They are a group of conservative ranchers out in Texas, and they will deliver fresh American-raised beef directly to your front door, grass-fed, grain-finished, and it's just pretty incredible. Everything grown right here in the good old U.S. of A. Now, here's the deal. Todd Stern Show listeners, you're going to get an extra 20% off your entire order by using code Todd. That's BackyardButchers.com. Use code Todd. And if you subscribe, and Caden and Aiden, who doesn't love like a monthly subscription of meat showing up? Yeah, it's not too shabby at all. So, again, you're going to get 20% off your entire order. And if you subscribe, you're going to get an additional 10% off your order and free shipping, which is good. Go to BackyardButchers.com/Todd. All right, we have a question out on the table here. What's the question? Was that whose turn was it?
It was hamburgers, I believe.
Oh, it was hamburgers. Aiden, all right, you have the question here. Let's bring in Janie from Memphis, Tennessee. Janie, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Todd?
Janie, I'm well, and you're on the air with Aiden and Caden, two of our great young people here in Memphis.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
All right, Aiden.
I made a little high pitch on the correct answer on this one.
All right, here we go. Let's go for it, Aiden.
All right, our question was roughly how many hamburgers are consumed on July 4th? Is it A, 74 million, B, 147 million, or C, 250 million?
I didn't hear an increase in your voice for the answer. I have no clue. This is not the question I called in for.
Oh, we know. Somebody already answered that. But take a guess here, Janie. Just take a...
I'm going with B.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well done, Aiden.
All righty. So we have a follow-up question for you since you got that one right. One U.S. city in California used to hold a marshmallow fight on July 4th. What city was it? And this is multiple choice. We have A, San Diego, B, Sacramento, or C, San Francisco.
I'm sticking with B.
Well, that's okay. Don't give him the answer. We're going to try to bring somebody else in on that one. That's not it. But, Janie, it doesn't matter because you still won with your first answer. Got big plans for the 4th of July?
Do not.
Well, Janie, you and me both. We're just going to be sitting. I'm going to be maybe watching the fireworks outside the window, and that's about it. So, Janie, hope you have a very happy Independence Day, and hang tight. Hang tight. All right, let's go to Marsha from South Carolina. Hi, Marsha. How are you?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. I cannot believe I'm actually talking to you.
Is that right?
I'm so excited.
Well, thank you. Well, we're excited, too. Guys,
happy pre-fourth.
Well, happy pre-fourth to you. Guys, how come you're not that excited?
You know, I'm sorry. I'll try to up it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Hey to Caden and Aiden. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Great.
All right.
So we've got a trivia question for you. And I think the previous one had already been answered, but I think we're going to be able to do this. Let's go back to the marshmallow question.
All righty. So we have one U.S. city in California used to hold a marshmallow fight on July the 4th. What city was it? Was it A, San Diego, B, Sacramento, or C, San Francisco?
Okay, I wanted to weigh in on the fireworks display. Has that already been answered?
Did we answer? No, you know, I don't think we answered the fireworks display.
The one the lady asked me about. That's the one I wanted to weigh in. Could I do that?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. What's the answer, Marsha? The biggest fireworks display in America.
Your book so bad, Twilight Slash Cleaning. Boston?
Oh, no. Oh, shoot. Oh, Janie, I am so sorry, Marsha. I am so sorry. That is incorrect, but you know what? Why don't you try the marshmallow question? Aiden, let's help her out.
Do we need to hear the answer choices one more time?
Yep.
Yes, please.
All righty. So one U.S. city in California used to hold a marshmallow fight on July the 4th. Was it San Diego, Sacramento, or San Francisco?
I'm going to choose C, San Francisco.
No, they do other things with marshmallows there. I'm sorry, that's inappropriate. No, that is not correct. Marcia, look, we're going to do trivia again. Give us a call back. We did our best, and good luck to you. What a nice lady, too. I feel bad. Okay, let's go to John in Tennessee, listening to us on the great WTJS. Hi, John.
Hey.
All right. So it's not Boston. So we know that, and it's not Washington, D.C. What is the home of the biggest fireworks display in the country?
Philadelphia.
John, that's not it. Thank you for playing, though. Guys, I didn't think this was a hard question.
I guess maybe because we know the answer, it's kind of easy to think of it, but maybe it's hard to guess.
No, I would have guessed this. Yeah. I think I would have guessed this.
Yeah, I feel like it would be top three answers for me, definitely.
All right, so it's not... We're going down the list.
It's not Washington, D.C., it's not Boston, and it's not Philadelphia. So
the city with the largest fireworks display in the country, 901-260-5926. All right, let's, Caden, let's have you do this question I was going to give the answer. Let's see here. Yes, that one right there.
All right, your question is, which U.S. president has a birthday on July 4th?
Oh, that's cool.
All right. Which U.S. president has a birthday on the 4th of July? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So I have to ask you, Aiden, you're getting ready to go off to college.
I am, yes, sir.
So what is that process like? I know you're doing the show over at Memphis Theater.
Yes, closed that, actually. So I've got a little more time to, focus on the family, get my last family time in before I move off to college. But yes, we just closed Cinderella Theater Memphis. It was a wonderful show. We were all so proud of it. Now I've got one more month with my family. I've got a family vacation, and then we start packing.
Man, good for you. And so what is your major going to be?
So at the moment, I'm planning on double majoring in musical theater and business administration.
Oh, very good.
Yes, sir.
And, Caden, I guess you guys have football practice coming up soon, I have to imagine.
Yep. A lot of football.
A lot of football.
A lot.
All right. So Christian Brothers High School. And when does the season – you guys kick off August, September?
I think it's like right at the start of August. We have a couple of scrimmages against small public schools like Henry County. But I think we kick off our first game against White Station, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, nice.
In August.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, let's go to Sherry, guys, in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. All right, guys, let's... Sherry, first of all, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. How about you?
Well, praise the Lord. Let's have church. All right, I like that. Okay, Sherry, who wants to... Aiden, give us the question again. This is the largest fireworks.
What city is the home of the known biggest fireworks display in the country?
And Sherry, before you answer, may I just say, please get this right.
Yeah, this is round please. Four, I think.
Okay. I was always told it's New York City. Macy's does it.
Oh!
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sherry, we like you. Well, we like all of our great listeners. All right.
I'm your soulmate. You told me that one time. I'm the one that has a heart problem.
Oh, wow. So we may be related even. So you never know. All right, Sherry, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold. Sherry, you have just won a prize. We have another question out there wanting to know which U.S. president has a birthday on July 4th. If you know the answer to that, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. We're just having a good old time here during the commercial break, and I hope you are as well. All right, we have Caden Starnes and Aiden Pettit joining us for trivia this afternoon, and we're going to go to the phones. Let's go to Stephen, listening to us online. Hi, Stephen. How are you today?
Brother Todd, how are you, sir? Happy Independence Day.
Well, happy Independence Day, and you're on the air with Aiden and Caden, and I know you want to answer the question about the marshmallows. Did we already answer that question? We haven't answered that question. All right. So, Aiden, the question again.
Question is, one U.S. city in California used to hold a marshmallow fight on July the 4th. What city was it? Was it A, San Diego, B, Sacramento, or C, San Francisco?
The answer would be A, San Diego.
Very nice, very nice.
Aiden, do we know why are they fighting with marshmallows? I don't understand this. This makes no sense to me.
It started... Story. It started back in the 1980s when a couple of local families jokingly lobbed marshmallows at each other after a neighborhood barbecue. Oh. The event grew in popularity, eventually becoming so large that large crowds
and the sugary mess. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Imagine cleaning that up.
That's disgusting.
Impossible. Hope it rains.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Stephen, congratulations. Got big plans for the holiday.
You know, roasting something, I don't know, something on the grill. It's always a winner, right?
There you go.
It is. All right. Well, Stephen, congratulations, and we appreciate you listening to us out there in Orange County, California. So he was kind of in the neighborhood. All right. Let's go to North Carolina. Tammy is on the line. Hi, Tammy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. And Caden's got a question for you about we're doing U.S. president.
Mm-hmm. Which U.S. president has a birthday on July 4th?
John Calvin Coolidge. I think that's how you say it.
There you go.
We'll take
it.
Well done. Well done. I am shocked here. Apparently, they loved animals, and they actually had a pet named Rebecca. Tammy, I'm just curious. Do you know what kind of a pet Rebecca was?
Was it a dog?
No, that would be boring. That's not worthy of a trivia question.
Now, it is multiple choice. We want to give options.
Oh, it is. All right, we're going to save that question. We'll save that question.
Okay.
Tammy, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and well done. All right, I think we can work in another trivia question here. Aiden,
sure.
All right, it's all yours.
All right, so Nathan's hot dog eating contest has happened on each Independence Day since 1972. Where does this competition take place?
All right. Where does the Nathan's Hot Dog competition take place? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Guys, have you seen this competition?
I have.
It's like it's a professional. I mean, it's a sport from what I understand.
Yeah, people devote time and. Yeah, all sorts of stuff. It's crazy.
Have you guys done this before? Have you just said, you know what, I'm going to see how many hot dogs I can...
Absolutely not.
Nope.
No.
What gets me is these guys are really thin. They're like skinny, especially like the Japanese guy. He weighs like 30 pounds.
Right. They don't look like they would be phenomenal at eating a lot of anything. And then you're like, wow, you just fit a whole lot of hot dogs
in
your stomach.
All right, guys, let's go to the phone lines. Beth in Georgia. Hi, Beth. How are you?
Hey, Todd. Great. How are you?
Beth, I'm doing well, and we're here with Aiden and Caden. I can't believe you guys rhyme. That's
great.
Well, that was completely unplanned. All right, Aiden, let's give out that question again.
All right. Nathan's hot dog eating contest has happened on each Independence Day since 1972. Where does this competition take place?
It would have to be Coney Island, Brooklyn.
Yes, and
congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Well done. Beth, you ever been down to Coney Island?
No, been to New York City, and that's as far as I want to go.
Well, and of course, Aiden just got back from there, and reports that there's still a lot of fun to be had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice place to visit.
To visit. That's the key. That's the key.
Yeah.
All right, Beth, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you hooked up with a great prize. As a matter of fact, let's go to Angela if we could. Angela from North Carolina. I'm feeling generous today. Angela, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing well. I know you already got the correct answer. Beth just answered it, but we're going to send you away with a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming as well. Is that okay? Can we do that?
That is absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. Angela, tell me about Independence Day. Got big plans?
Grilling out hot dogs and cheeseburgers.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, nice.
That's all you
Sounds
need to
great.
Do. That's all you need to do.
Yep.
All right. Well,
yep.
Angela, hang tight, and we're going to get all of your information here shortly. All right. Well done, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
This was kind of like an experiment. How do we think it went?
I think it went great.
You know? I think it went great, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good. Good answer. Yeah, I agree, too. All right. Guys, congratulations on all of the winners. We're going to do this again over the summer as we get through this crazy political season. And again, the breaking news is that President Biden is still in the race. He is not going to be pulling out. And that is going to lead to a lot of turmoil. We're going to keep you updated on all of those developments. ToddStearns.com. Head over there and check out our website. And also you can download our podcast. Over 1 million people now subscribing to the podcast. And we love all of you guys. You can also sign up for our newsletter that comes out every morning with all sorts of great news and information. Over 250,000 of you now subscribing to that. And so we certainly appreciate that. And of course, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, I'll be on Newsmax. We're going to have a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, the folks from Graceland are going to be with us on the TV show tonight, and they'll be telling everybody about the big celebration there. Have you guys been to Graceland by any chance?
Despite living here my entire life, I have not ever been.
Stop.
Me too. I've drove by, but I've never really, you know, stopped in Graceland.
So it's kind of like being in New York City. If you live in New York City, you never go to the Statue of Liberty. You know,
right, you just don't.
So I think that's what it is for folks who live in Memphis. But you guys got to go over there. It's a lot of fun. And they've got, it's kind of like Universal Studios. They have the Elvis experience.
Yeah, I've heard it's great. I've just never been, yeah.
All right. So, Caden, we will see you on the football field sometime soon. And Aiden, we'll see you on stage somewhere.
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
All right. What's the dream job as you're going off to college?
Dream job? You know, honestly, any part of the creative industry, you know, whether it's, you know, on stage or on camera or even on broadcasting, you know, I like being a part of stuff like that.
All right. We do have openings here at Stearns Media Group.
See, there you go.
There you go. So you and Caden could be anchoring the news one day or doing sports or something. I don't know. Well, guys, we really appreciate you coming out. And folks, it's important that we just celebrate this great country, and we celebrate all ages here on this program. There's so much great stuff happening, and we love Gen Z. We love the millennials and the baby boomers. And of course, I'm Gen X, so we have the coolest generation. We had the best music, I think. And Dylan, well done. I think they did a good job over here.
I think they did a great job.
All right. Well,
debut for Caden.
It is a debut.
Second time for Aiden.
That's right. And he's not wearing short shorts, and we really want to say thank you.
Well, it is the radio.
Yeah.
Bring on Eli Manning next time in an interview about that moment.
It really doesn't matter. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. Again, hope you and your family just have a terrific Independence Day celebration. I'm going to be out for the next couple of days. Steve Gill is going to be filling in, so I will see you on Monday. In the meantime, you get out there and let's celebrate America.